Hallelujah. I'm excited. That's the best way I'm going to be able to describe it. I'm overtaken by the Holy Ghost this morning in the sense that He is showing me in the Spirit what's coming. And I'm not, this is a new one for me because I'm not a prophet. But I'm telling you, the way the world's going, the world is going to look for a hospital. And we are that hospital. Amen? You're all surgeons. Now, how good a surgeon you are is going to be up to you. But we all need to be able to help people with the Word of God. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. But anyway, we want to welcome everyone to join us by live stream this morning. Like I said earlier, I do believe I have a word from the Lord. And it's going to kind of help us along in where I believe the Lord wants us to go. I'm just trying to figure out a way to start it. Let's start with prayer. How about that? Good. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word you've given me this morning, Father God, is being unctioned by the Holy Spirit, Father God, and it is to make us grow up in you, Father God. And I'm just going to speak for myself, Father God, that I can become the person that you want me to be. That I can deliver your word the way you would have me deliver it. And I also pray for your people, Father God, that they open their hearts and their minds right now and they receive the word of God that you've given us this morning. And that word will fall in the hearts of in their fertile soil of their hearts, and they will become the children that you want them to become. And we'll be careful, Father, to always give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Here a while back, of course, it's been a year or two. I don't know how long it's been. My wife will correct me on this. But I taught on a series of the importance of the local church. How many of you remember that series? How many of you were here for that series? Talking about the local church. Well, good. Well, this is from God because we're going to talk about it again. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I thank God for the local church. Amen. Because it's the only place, listen to what I'm fixing to tell you, it's the only place that God chose to establish where his people could come and get fed the word of God and get fed the word on a regular basis. He wanted us all, every member, every child of God, God wants every child to grow up. He wants them to grow up spiritually, not to get old. Not to just become pew sitters, but to grow up in his word. You know why he wants us to all grow up in his word? Because he has something for each of us to do. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be an usher. Not everybody's called to be in the children's ministry. But you have a gift on the inside of you that God wants to bring out. And I was reminded of Malachi 3:8, and I'm not trying to run anybody off, but it says this: would you rob God of what you have on the inside of you? I'm going to do my best to stay behind this pulpit today and stay on task. That was already the Holy Ghost talking to somebody in here. But the local church that is established on God's word is going to be vitally important in these last days, not only to the sick and those coming in off the streets, but it's also going to be important to born-again believers. Did you know that when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on the rock, he was not talking about a place for sinners to gather. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking about a place for you and I to come and get fed the word of God and grow up in him. He was talking about, I'm going to build my church on the rock, which is the word of God. And he was talking about you and me being built on that word. Can you say amen? Jesus was talking about a place where lives would be built. He was talking about a place where families could grow together. He's talking about a place where ministries would be launched and people would want to step out and help others to grow. And I'm so grateful this morning for the local church, because it was the church that helped establish me. It was the church that helped me grow. Amen. Amen. It's a church that will also help you to grow if you let it. So this morning I want to talk to you about something that the Lord has put on my heart. And I do not want you to think that this is me. But I want to talk to you about what it means to have a pastor. What it means to have a pastor. Then when I want to talk to you about it, what it looks like to be pastored. See, those are two different things. What it means to be pastored, and then what it means. That's on my part, to pastor you, to study to show myself approved, to where I bring you the uncompromised word of God, and then what it means for you to be pastored. How many of you want to be pastored? Amen. God just saw those hands, so don't renege on me at the end of service. All right. You see, just coming to church does not mean you can be pastored. How many of you know that you can be here and still be absent? That when you're here, you got to come through those doors expecting God to speak especially to you. If you don't come through those doors expecting God to speak something to you, then the word that I bring forward is going to fall on deaf ears. Don't shout me down now. I know I'm starting to preach real good in the beginning, but it's going to get better, more better. So it's being pastored is not just becoming a member of this church. Being pastored is having a willingness to be discipled. You have to be willing to be discipled. You have to be willing to be trained in the things of God. How many of you know when you were first born again, you didn't know everything about God? Four of us. All right. You have to learn how to be pastored. And you have to learn to be pastored in order to learn anything that's going to pertain to God's kingdom. And to learn how to be pastored, we have to go where? Everybody say, to the Word of God. Amen. Are you still with me? Did I give you a scripture? I didn't think so. See, y'all should have been. Where are we going, Pastor? How many of you got your Bible this morning? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'll give you time to get there since I was so excited about getting into this. Actually, I was leery of getting into it because I didn't want anybody in here, and listen to my heart. I don't want anybody in here to think this is about me, because it ain't. It's about you. It's about you. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin with verse number 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I want you to notice Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. How many of you know your ministry is teaching, preaching, and healing? Amen. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because, look at this, for they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Everybody right out beside shepherd, pastor, because that's what that word means. So they were weary and scattered because they were like sheep having no pastor. So let me say this, just because you and I are sheep in God's kingdom don't mean we can't be scattered. I've seen a lot of scattered Christians. Matter of fact, I used to look in the mirror at one for many, many years. It's a process. Amen? I used to be a scattered Christian. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's because I was reading the word and hearing the word, but I wasn't doing the word. If you're not doing the word, you're scattered. Because you have to be focused. And God's word is the best thing. How many of you know? How many of you know his word is the best thing you can be focused on? Amen. Notice Jesus said these folks were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. How many of your Bible says that? How many of your Bible says pastor? Good, because I looked at a lot of translations this morning and none of them said pastor. But if you look in the Strong's Concordance, that's what it's talking about. Amen. So it said they were weary and scattered because they didn't have a pastor. So the opposite would be true in my logic. You wouldn't be weary and scattered if you did have a pastor. How many of you can agree with that? Amen. You wouldn't be weary and scattered if you had a shepherd and were fully committed to being pastored. Are you with me? I lost a few of you. The New Living Bible in that verse number 36 says this. It says, but what pity he felt for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. How many of you in this building has ever been in that shape that you had so many problems that you didn't know what to do or where to go for help? So Jesus is talking about sheep here or believers who have no shepherd being burdened down with problems. So burdened down that they could not solve their own problems and they had no idea where to go for help. Well, how many of you know pastors are called to be first responders? Amen. How many of you know you're supposed to be a first responder even though you're not a pastor of a church? Amen. Pastors are called to be first responders, and our purpose, or I'll just my purpose is to minister the word of God that will help you and other of God's people overcome their problems. And all of us at time or two have needed help. How many of you in here ever needed help from the Lord? Amen. God never intended, listen to me now, God never intended for anyone to be a Christian in isolation. I think it's Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints together. He's telling us that for a reason. Because he don't want nobody to be isolated. Amen. Matter of fact, there is no scripture that supports you or me being an isolated Christian. I mean, that's why God established faith-based churches on this planet with Bible-preaching pastors, and he put a church and a pastor in every community so none of his children would have to be isolated. Let me ask you this. What happens to a sheep that isolates itself from the body? They normally get eaten, don't they? Now, that brings to mind the scripture that says Satan roameth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may to devour. And if you're a sheep trying to do this on your own without a pastor and without a body, the body of Christ, let me tell you something, you will be devoured. Amen. Or the Bible's a lie. And please don't take that the wrong way. Amen. You can be isolated because I'm just feeling a little resistance from the internet right now. It helps to watch my live stream. But nothing can replace the local church. And nothing can help you more than a local pastor that you can go to on a regular basis. Amen. Not glorifying him, glorifying God. Now, you got to be careful in the picking your pastor. No, I don't want to use that because I'm fixing to talk against that. You have to go where God tells you to go, and he'll give you the pastor that you need. Let me say it that way. I about stuck both feet in my mouth. Amen. But you can watch my live stream. But it's far more important for you to have a pastor that will see you face to face every week. And he can see what's going on in your life. Not that he's a meddler, but how many of you know we all need help? Amen? But you have to have a pastor that will talk with you and answer any questions you may have about the Word of God, if he knows them. If he don't, he'll have to find them. Amen? You have to have a pastor that will also, and yet nobody's going to like this one, hold you accountable to the Word of God. Every saint of God needs to be held accountable to God's Word. And sometimes that means the pastor is going to come to you and say, you need to stop doing that. Or you need to start doing this. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to help somebody. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life in 1997, for the first 4 months, Miss Brenda and I sat at our table or at our bar studying the Word of God, turned all outside influences off. And we got a lot through that, okay? And I got a lot of the truths of God's Word mainly through listening to teachers on cassette tapes. How many of you remember those? Yeah, y'all just dated yourself too. Amen. But I got a lot of what I needed about learning about faith and learning about miracles and learning about the Word of God from cassette tapes. And that was okay for a while. But God knew Miss Brenda and I needed a pastor. So he set us under a pastor in San Antonio. And we stayed submitted to that pastor and served into the ministry in whatever way they inclined us to. I wanted to be in the part of the carpenter ministry. I wanted to be part of the prayer ministry. So we got involved in the ministry. How many of you know that the reason every Christian needs to get involved in the ministry? One of us, Miss Susan. Look at Luke 6:38. Give of yourself and it will be given unto you. That's why every born-again Christian needs to hear from God and get involved. Amen. It's not just for God's kingdom. It's for you. If you want God to give you to you and bless you, listen, guys, you have to get busy blessing him. How many of you have really laid your life down to the Lord? I'm talking about literally. Don't raise your hand because you haven't. Literally, literally. Y'all listen to the question before you just raise your hand. trick three women. None of the men. Well, the men don't ever want to raise their hands anyway because they just know I'm setting them up. Hallelujah. But none of us have literally had to give our life for God. All we have to give him is our heart and be willing to do what he tells us to do. He gave you his life. He laid down his life for you. I'm trying to minister to somebody. That's what pastors do. We minister the truth. I was talking to my mother this morning. I'm trying to stay on my notes. I just may just turn a page. Y'all may not, don't recognize it. I was talking to my mom this morning. She listened to my message on correction. She said, oh, baby, that's what she calls me, because I am her baby. She said, baby, that was such a good message. She says, but I can guarantee you not everybody wanted to hear it. I said, you're exactly right, Mom. Because none of us like to be corrected. But how many of you know, just like you correct your kids, sometimes God is going to correct you. And we need to welcome that. We need to ask God to correct it. I want him to correct me anytime he sees something in my life that's going wrong. Amen. You know why? because I want to stay on his course. I don't want to go off on my own course for my life. Hey, listen, I tried that. It don't work out well. So I got tired of it. Amen. And I know a lot of people in here are tired of that. You're tired of butting your head against the wall because, you know, and because you're just so blind, you don't see the door's just one step to the left or one step to the right. None of those people are here this morning, right? Hallelujah. But we stayed over there about 15 years. My point is this, guys. Although we were getting the word on our own, although we were listening to all the cassette tapes, which is kind of equivalent to watching by live stream, although we were getting the word and we were watching pastors on TV or we was listening to the cassette tapes, we needed a pastor. And God knew that. Every Christian needs a pastor. Are you with me this morning? All right, turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. And I'm going to say this too, and I need to say this before we go on. One of the things that in the local church, and not necessarily speaking of this church here in particular, but one of the things in the local church that the saints of God have to guard against is a spirit of familiarity. A spirit. How many of you know that's a spirit? It's called a familiar spirit. Write it down, look it up. In other words, you have to guard against getting so familiar with me as your pastor that you start saying things like, well, he's just preaching on that again. I don't need to go this Sunday. Oh, man, we've been hearing about that long enough. I don't really want to hear it again. Let me share something with you guys. God's got a word for that. Write this down. Dullness of hearing. Dullness of hearing. You can get dull of hearing. I've had a person tell me in here that, you know, I preached a message that's going to be coming up again called You'll Reap What You Sow. And after about the third day of that series, I had a brother come to me and say, you know something, Pastor, I'm just tired of you telling me that. So today when you said it, I just closed off to you and I didn't hear anything else you said. He was just being honest. I've done that. I've gotten so familiar with the Word of God that, yeah, okay, you know, I'm just, you know, and you just get dull of hearing. But let me share something with you. What happens? The moment you get dull of hearing is the moment God's going to give you a revelation knowledge, a piece of revelation knowledge, and you're going to miss it. Because it's just another message pastor's preaching. Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. We have to guard against a familiar spirit. Actually, you can write this down. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14 talks about that spirit. And when you get too familiar with me and the word that I'm trying to teach you, then my ability to lead you gets very, very difficult. Because some sheep, they get so dull of hearing, they turn into goats. And how many of you ever raised goats? You can't make a goat do anything. Amen. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again this morning. Not only to the folks in this room, but also those watching by live stream that call yourself a part of this church. I can only pastor you to the level that you allow me to. I can't pastor you past what you're willing to be pastored. If you don't want me in your space, you won't let me up on your front porch. You don't want my help, I won't be able to help you. You don't want me to be your pastor, I won't be able to pastor you. And if you don't allow me to be your pastor, then you'll make very little progress in your spiritual growth. I have told people that's left this church, if I can't be your pastor, then you need to find a church where you can be pastored. Amen. I'm not an easy pastor to sit under. That was a little quick. But she's right. I don't try to preach a hard word. How many of you know the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And God didn't put an age limit on who could hear it. I'm going to give you a little hint. And I'm not pointing anybody out in here, even though I'm walking over this way. I'm going to tell you something. It's the baby Christians that can receive the word more than somebody that's been in church all their life. Think about it. When you're raising up your children, who's training them? So when a baby Christian comes in here and gets born again, they can receive this word easier than somebody that's been in church all their life. I know that may not make sense to you, but I want you to just think about it. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God that I didn't get saved until I was after 30 years old. Because I wasn't raised in church. Don't get mad at me, Mom. I know you took me to church, but I wasn't raised in church. Therefore, I didn't have no religion on me. And I was willing to just open my heart and receive the word exactly how it came off the page. Because that's what the way we ought to receive it. Amen. And you are sitting under a pastor that I'm going to give it to you right off of the page. Hallelujah. I should have got just as loud of amen out of that. So let's move on. Hallelujah. Listen. I am only standing here before you today because 27 years ago, I was willing to sit under a pastor and submit myself to him. And it's been a long, hard road. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we haven't arrived. We're still growing every day. But it never would have started if I wouldn't have been willing to be pastored. Amen. And let me tell you something. Driving back and forth to San Antonio three times a week kind of went against our flesh. Kind of like Brother Tim. He has to drive way up from up north, Hamilton Pool Road. He got to want to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. I got friends that live right down the road. Not literally, but really, really close. That would rather watch my live stream than come up here. And I still love you, but you're wrong. Let's move on. I'm telling you this morning, my brother says, when you totally submit to being pastored, then over the process of time, it's not going to happen instantly, but over the process of time, the gifts that God has put on the inside of you will begin to come out. And then when those gifts start coming out, you will truly start experiencing what your Heavenly Father has in store for you. But it all begins with your willingness to be pastored. Can you say amen? Jeremiah 3, verse number 14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. That word Zion in the modern day church or the modern day theology is the house of God. Or it's a church. So he's going to bring us into Zion or the church. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Look at the first part of verse 16. It says, then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord. that it, let me read that again. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord. I want you to notice the progression. Let's just put it this way. Your progression, or the progression of God's people, okay? In the, verse 14, where were they? They were backslidden. That don't mean they didn't love God. That means they were living by their own ways and their own understanding. Verse 15, God gave them a pastor who fed them with knowledge and understanding. And then in verse 16, what happened? They were multiplied and increased. Praise God. So from the time they were backslidden to the time they were increased, what did their heavenly Father do? Gave them a pastor. Gave them a shepherd. A shepherd leads the sheep. A shepherd don't follow the sheep. Amen. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear it. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd is not to follow the sheep. We got too many shepherds that are allowing the sheep to tell him how to lead. Look around you. That ain't happening here. Amen. It ain't going to happen here. I'm not going to preach to please you. I'm going to preach to preach to please my Heavenly Father. And if you want to follow, that's going to be up to you, between you and God. Can you say amen? And I'm not mad, guys. I love each and every one of you more than you'll ever know. I'm willing to give my whole life for you, because this ain't something you do one day a week. Even though one gentleman came to church one time and said, well, he only works one day a week. Yeah. Walk a mile in my shoes, baby. And I love it. I love this job. I love this ministry. I love y'all. Amen. And I will literally give my life for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying that for you to think anything about me, because it ain't about me. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Listen, from the time you were backslidden and doing things your own way, then one day you got born again and he brought you into the church. And the first thing he did was he gave you a shepherd. And that shepherd started feeding you word that you may have been in church all your life, but you ain't never heard it preached like it was been preached here. And you started growing, and God started increasing you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And that don't mean the pastor gets any of the credit. This ain't about me. It's about God. It means God will set you under a man or a woman of God that will preach the uncompromised word of God to you. And his word is either going to make you real mad, or his word is going to make you grow up. And sometimes both. Sometimes you're going to get mad, but then if you just stick with it and don't quit, you'll grow up. Amen. But notice he says, God will give you a pastor. It's not you choosing one because of he's really charismatic. Or it's not you choosing one because he wears flip-flops and a polo shirt and jumps up and down on the stage. It's not you choosing one because he or she always makes you feel good about yourself, no matter how hellish you're living. God said, I'm going to give you a shepherd. He said, I'm going to give you a pastor according to my heart. God sets you in here according to his heart. Amen. And his heart is for you to go to a place that's preaching and teaching the uncompromised word of God, and for, so you can apply his word to your life, and that you can grow up spiritually. That you can not be scattered anymore. That you cannot be depressed anymore. How many of you have know somebody that needs to get rid of depression? Amen. Bring them to church. Let them hear the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that can deliver anybody. How many of you know that? But he wants you to apply the word of God so you don't no longer have to live paycheck to paycheck. He wants you to apply the word of God to your life so you can walk in total victory in every area of your life. And many of you in this room are doing just that. But at the same time, people can sit right here in this church and be scattered. They can sit right here in this church and be depressed. They can sit right here in this church and be broke if they choose to not to apply God's word to their life. It's a choice. You have to choose to do God's word. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Just coming to this church and hearing me preach God's word cannot, and will not put you over in this life. Amen. You got to be a doer of the word. It's doing of the word of God that puts you over in life. And let me just throw this disclaimer out there. Anybody watching my live stream this morning that don't want to proceed with what we're teaching here, just it's okay that you're saved and you're going to heaven, okay? If that's all you want out of your Christianity, you're there. If you're taking Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. But if you want anything else from God, you need a pastor. You need somebody that's going to tell you the truth. John 8:32, who can tell me what that says? You'll know the truth. There we go. See how good it is? I start the scripture and you finish it. Praise God. There is no victory in just hearing from God. The victory only comes with doing what God tells you to do. In other words, it's you taking the word and applying the word to your everyday life. And then it's you standing on the word and standing on the word and standing on the word through the good times, the bad times, and all those times in between. It's you standing on the word and saying, you know something, no matter what comes to my life, no matter what kind of hell I got to go through, I'm never going to quit. When you can stand up and boldly tell the devil, I'll never quit, you're being pastored. Because you don't get that on your own. Amen. You got to have encouragement, not only from the pastor, but from your brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm doing my best to hurry. Well, we got plenty of time. Last time I looked up at the watch, the clock had said that, it was 12:15 when I got done. You have to stand on the word. And you know what? You need a pastor that helps stand with you. Amen. And when you come to me with something in your life, no matter what it is, I'm here to help. And we're gonna work on whatever it is you have to work on. And then we're going to dig into the word, because that's the only place I know to look for answers. We're going to dig into the word and we're going to find a scripture that fits whatever you're going through. And then we're going to pray that scripture together over whatever you're going through. And then we're going to stand on that scripture and stand on that scripture and stay with that scripture and never, never, ever quit until we see that thing come to pass in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said he's going to give you a pastor. 1 Corinthians 12:18, write this down. You don't have to turn there. I gave it to you earlier. It says, God sets the members in the body under a pastor, I'm paraphrasing, as it pleases him. He set you in this church because that pleased him. Amen. How many of you want to be a God pleaser? Okay, I'm going to give everybody that's double-minded a second chance. How many in here want to be a God pleaser? I'm going to give some of them that ain't paying no attention to me a third chance. How many of you want to be a God pleaser? I'm looking. I ain't going to stop till everybody raises their hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't pointing anybody out, okay? I don't want to just say brother because I don't want to say sister because then it don't go over well. We all want to be God pleasers, right? Well, once God sets you in a body, how do you become a God pleaser? Who wants to get 100 points for the answer? Be a doer of the word. See, my honey? Oh, man. Be a doer of the word. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? That's 11:1. If you want to be a God pleaser, and I'm paraphrasing, there it is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Thank you, sister. Oh, she's good, ain't she? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and what? He's a rewarder of those who seek him once or twice a month. No, those who... So if you want to please God, you got to diligently seek him every day. Amen. All right, here's another litmus test. How many in here want God to bless you every day? You know I'm setting you up, don't you? Then you got to bless him every day. You got to be a blessing to get blessed. One of the favorite sayings I first learned from some of the cassette tapes, I'm blessed to be a blessing. We need to get that attitude that I'm blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And that needs to be our attitude. We're blessed when we're a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are we at? Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. But he says, I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart, and they are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the main purpose of a pastor, to feed you knowledge and understanding. Not to agree with you when you're in your flesh, but to bring you out of your flesh by giving you the word of God. I should have got at least one amen. But here's the purpose of a pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 says, and he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and what? Some pastors and some teachers. Here's the reason. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Oh, we just thought pastor was supposed to do everything. For the equipping of the saints for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this. This is very important. Till we all, everybody say all. Till every one of us, usins, every child of God that's in here and those watching my live stream, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man or woman. That word perfect there just means mature. You need to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we should no longer be children. And he's talking about just immature Christians, those who just want to feed on the sincere milk of the word all their life. Never want to be confronted with anything. Never want to be challenged with anything. Never want to be held accountable for anything. And they just stay babies their entire life. And they always get mad when I bring something up new that they may not be doing or something they need to get rid of. I added all that's not in the scriptures. That we should no longer be children. What I did describe is somebody's been tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Well, we'll go down the street if we don't like the way Pastor John preaches. And by the trickery of man into the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But look at this. Speaking the truth in love. That's another one of the things pastors do. I never speak to you out of an angry heart. My heart is always to help everybody. Amen. And I want your heart to be to help me as well. But speaking the truth in love, that we may all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So notice he said he's given the fivefold ministry for what reason? So we can all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That kind of sounds like Ephesians chapter 3 or chapter 1 verse 16, don't it? That God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to me. Being pastored is part of God's plan to grow you up in the knowledge of his word. And why would God want to grow you up? So you can be the son or daughter that he created you to be. He did not create you to be chewed alive by Satan. He did not create you to be unvictorious in your life. He created you to rule and reign in life. How many of you know that? But you have to be able to be pastored. Well, how do I know I'm being pastored? I'm glad you asked. Write down, or you can write these down or just you can listen to them again, but five ways you can tell if you are truly being pastored. Number one, James chapter 1, verse number 21 and 22. If you want to write that down, you have to be a doer of the word. You'll know that you're being pastored if you start right where you're at and start doing God's word. You don't have to be where pastor's at. You don't have to be where anybody else is at. You start right today and start being a doer of God's word. So if you're sitting under the word and doing the word, you're being pastored. But each of us have to ask ourselves this question. Does pastor preach the word of God to me? And then I leave this church without doing anything with it? Or does pastor preach the word of God to me and I take that word seriously, like God's talking especially to me, and I start applying that word to my life? So how do you know if you're being pastored? You're a doer of the word. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this is the problem with many who join the church. That's it. Say amen, baby. This is the problem with many who join the church. They'll come and hear the word, but then they'll leave and they'll not ever do the word. And the Bible says right here in the word and cannot be changed, that when they do that, if they hear it and don't do it, they're deceiving themselves. It ain't the devil deceiving them. They're self-deceived. That's why many Christians don't get their prayers answered. Because they're not doing the word. They hear it, but then they walk right out that door and just live like they want to. Sure got awful quiet in God's house. Somebody type in, yeah, pastor, preach it. Hallelujah. Listen, how many of you still know that I'm giving this to you in love? Because I want each and every person in here to grow. And I'm not criticizing people that go walk out of here deceived. I lived for years being self-deceived. Matter of fact, the first, from 1984 to 1990, which was almost 7 years, I heard the word 3 times a week, taught it on Sunday morning to adult Sunday school, but never became a doer of the word. And I was self-deceived. And she was too, because we're a team. In 1990, we backslid and went right back into the world. I'm not saying you'll do that, but the chances are, if you don't do God's word, the chances of you backsliding are great. You have to be a doer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not the hearing of the word that causes a child of God to be victorious. It's the child of God that does his word that will live victorious. Can you say amen? So the first way to tell if you're being pastored is to be a doer of the word. Hallelujah. The second way that you can show that you're being pastored is if you allow me to speak God's word into your life. You have to be able to let me speak God's word into your life without you getting offended. Some people come to church and never allow me to speak the word of God into their life. And I'm not being critical of that. But you see, those folks are refusing to be pastored. They just want to come to church. They want to check the box off. And I'm not being judgmental, but I've seen in my life of ministry that most of those people, and I'm not using this as an ugly word, but most of those people are usually arrogant and self-centered. In other words, the only thing they think about is themselves. Well, what pastor preached hurt my feelings. They think only of themselves, and they know everything. Have anybody ever met anybody that just knows everything? They know everything about everything. You can't tell somebody that. You can't tell that person anything. And they surely can't be taught. I mean, how do you teach somebody? Any teachers in here? How do you teach somebody that knows everything already? Just asking for a friend. You can't teach somebody that has an attitude that I know it. How many ever, and I'm going to give you for instance, okay, so I ain't talking about nobody in here. How many of everybody how many have ever started talking to somebody about the Lord? And they say, I know. Anybody ever run across somebody like that? Yeah, I know, Pastor. Yeah, I know it. Well, you ought to be doing it. Yeah, I know. See, they know everything. But they don't do it. They know it, but they don't do it. I don't really know if they know it or not. But they always say that. So you just get off their back. Hallelujah. If you stay on their back, then they go, you're judging me. Anybody ever had anybody tell you that? You're just judging me. You know what a good response is? Easy. Stay awake. You know what a good response is? I done forgot to go. She just threw me all off. I got to get back on my notes. I don't remember what I was saying. Somebody says you judge me. Yeah, tell them they were judged 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. And they were found guilty. And without submitting to God and God's word, they will end up being guilty. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't recognize that you need a pastor, you'll go to church hopping. If you don't recognize that you need a pastor that preaches you the word, you'll go to church hopping. And let me tell you something. That is not your answer. Amen. That is, unless you find a pastor that's just going to tell you how good you are, and they're never going to challenge you. You need a pastor that you have to submit to, no matter how much it hurts sometimes. Can you say amen? Number three, y'all need to listen quicker. You can tell you're being pastored if you receive me holding you accountable. You have to be held accountable to God's word. In other words, if you're struggling with something and you come to see me and we work through whatever it is you're struggling with, that's accountability. And that's being pastored. It's you allowing me to speak God's word into your life, whether it hurts or whether it does not hurt. It's you coming into agreement on the answer we find for you in God's word. And it's you standing on the word until that word comes to pass in your life. That's what's called being accountable. Accountability. It's when I see you stumbling in a certain area of your life, and then you allow me to minister the truth of God's word to you in love, and you also receive that correction in love, and you apply what the pastor tells you to your life. That's being pastored. Number four, you can tell you're being pastored if you're always open and honest. You have to be open and honest with not only with your pastor, but with God. In other words, you're not trying to shuck and jive me about how things are really going in your life. Yeah, praise the Lord, Pastor. I'm blessed, highly favored of the Lord. When you're really not, and you may be hurting. You got to be able to come to your pastor and say, you know something, Pastor, I'm really having a problem with this. Can you help me? Can you agree with me? Can we come into agreement on God's word? Can you pray for me? Can you give me a scripture that can help me? Being open and honest means you're vulnerable. And I know sometimes that can be very tough, especially if a person feels like the whole world is closing in around them. You got to let somebody in. You got to let somebody help you. And what better person than your pastor? Because he's one of the only people that you'll be able to go to that he's accountable to God Almighty, and he won't tell everybody your problems. Don't run to anybody outside your covering of which is your pastor or your Mrs. Pastor to get counseling. Amen. Or if they're part of the church ministry. Amen. In other words, don't go to the beauty shop looking for answers. Don't go to the water fountain and put me in and pour your life out to all the guys standing around the water can. Amen. That's what pastors are for. That's what it means to be pastored. You come to the ones that are going to bring you the word of God and not give you their opinion. I mean, why would anybody want to go to somebody about divorce counseling that's been married 6 times? I mean, stupid is as stupid does. Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. You have to be open and honest. If you come to me for help, I'm going to do whatever it takes. As long as it stays within the guidelines of the Word of God, I'm going to do everything it takes to help you get out of that. Amen. Number five. And I know everybody's going to like this, and it was here last week, because number five is you have to be able to, you know you're being pastored if you're able to take correction. Hebrews chapter 12. And I said most of you in here was going to love that because I'm not going to preach it again. Everybody said amen. But those who haven't heard that message from last week, I encourage you to go to the website and listen to it. As a matter of fact, just go listen to the last 5 messages because they're all about you. Amen. They're all about you. But if you haven't heard that, it's vital that you listen to it so you'll know whether you're being pastored or not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And if you endure the chastening," verse 7, "if you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with what? Sons and daughters." I don't mean just sons. I've had one person, some people say, "Well, that's all you ever talk about is the man." Well, that's what they say in the Bible. It's just mankind, amen? "If you endure the chastening, God's going to deal with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten?" Now, even though the topic of digression goes down all the way through verse 13, I'm going to stop right there and ask you this question. Who is doing the chastening? Is it Pastor John? No, it's the Word of God. It's God's word that does the correcting. But he says here, many people won't endure his correction. In other words, people will call me their pastor And they'll tell me how much they love the way I teach. And they'll tell me that all the way until the time I step up on their porch and knock on their front door. They'll tell me that when, as long as the word ain't correcting them, they'll amen me to pieces. And then it's like, well, why is he always stepping on my toes? And I just want to tell you, we'll quit putting them out there. Get things out of your life, and I won't step on your toes. Add things to your life, and I won't step on your toes. Okay, let's move on. It's 1201. Hallelujah. You got to be able to take correction. If I teach you something that rubs you the wrong way, and you get offended by the word that was taught, many times we'll look on the next Sunday, you don't show up. What happened? You received the word that was preached as a personal attack from me instead of receiving it as correction from your Father in heaven. And let me tell you this, as God is my witness, I would never use this holy pulpit to personally attack anybody or to correct anybody other than using the word of God. Amen. That's just not in me. And you know why? Because I got to answer to him. I got to answer to him. So, if me, my wife, and I could name a few others, but I'm just going to lump you all together. If me, my wife, or anyone else that stands in this pulpit and preaches the word of God that brings correction in your life, do not choose to be offended. Don't choose to be offended. Instead, you need to choose to receive the word as God correcting you because he loves you as a son or a daughter. Amen? And he always wants the best for you. How many of you know that? How many of you know just God don't just want to pour his wrath out on any of his children? Amen. Now I know I need to stop. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in closing. In closing, let me encourage you to never close the door to being pastored. God gave us pastors to help us to stay on the right course. How many of you know the path is narrow and straight is the way? And that's the course that I want to keep you on. Amen. Listen, I love you. My wife loves you. We want God's best for you. Not only for you, but for your entire family. And we're praying that you fulfill every purpose and every plan God has for you. But his word says it will not happen without you being willing to be pastored. There are God-given talents, gifts, and abilities in each person that's sitting in this building this morning and those watching by live stream. And you don't have a right to hold them to yourself. I'm just going to put it out there. You owe it to God to give it to him. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can say this, if you just stay with the word and you stay with your pastor and do not quit, you'll start giving those gifts to God and he'll outgive you in your life. Can you say amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know this was a climax to the word that's been coming forth to this church. And I'm not sure where the Lord's going to lead us when we do come back off vacation, but I'm going to be seeking him while we're on vacation. Amen? Amen. But how many of you know the word is always the same? Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I love that, holding hands. That couple there, sweet. Hallelujah. Listen, I believe God is raising up a church that he wants. He's raising up a church body that wants more than just status quo Christianity. He's raising up a church body that is so hungry for him and so hungry for the things of God that they're just stepping up and saying, I am willing to do whatever you tell me to do, God. And I believe those who are stepping up and stepping out are saying to God, I'm willing to be pastored. Yeah, I don't always like what pastor brings forth. I don't always like him stepping on my toes. But I'm willing to stick this thing out, Father God, because I know your word is true. And I know if I just continue being a doer of your word will manifest in my life. How many of you know that? Amen. Got to stay with it. Amen. I believe God's raising up a church that's going to see miracles. And not just miracles when something special happens, okay? I'm talking about daily miracles. I'm talking about not just healing miracles. Let's move past that. I'm talking about miracles of joy. I'm talking about miracles of peace in your life. I'm talking about miracles of contentment with what you have. Contentment in your marriage. Contentment with your children. And teaching them to be content with what they have. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to close. That was my second closing. I'm going to say this in closing. The church that has a person that loves to pastor needs a church that loves to be pastored. And I believe we have that here. Can you say amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord one clap offering, and then we'll pray. You know, we give everyone an opportunity that when the Lord pricks our heart and we know. How many of you in here know that we're always needing to get better? Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm just going to use those hands that said that to say this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you really meant that and you want to get better than you are, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Your word says that he came, that I have life and have it more abundantly. So I thank you, Father, for sending him to die for me. Jesus Christ, I know you have the best. I know you have the best in mind for me. So show me in your word what I can do to serve you. And I know your best will come to me. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The last thing we always say, and I got you out of here 12:15. Hallelujah. You know what my mother said? I'm going to let you go, really. She said, well, baby, just change your times from 11 to 12:15. You got it made. I said, that's a good idea, Mom. She said, no. Hallelujah. We serve a miracle working God, and you're always next in line for your miracle. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Miss Brenda.